a very good evening to you. Once again to Sweet and Swing here on Max Radio. My name's Howard Kane, as always. A pleasure to have your company on a Friday night. What have we got? How about a bit of the Duke Ellington? The cheeky chappy, Harry Roy. Some early George Shearing. But to start off, do mind that handle, it's hot. Told you it was hot. Arthur Young with Hatchett's Swing Tet. The handle is hot, or Mind the Handle is hot, I think, to give it its full title. Mind the Handle, it's hot. You keep waiting for the lyrics to come in, don't you? But they don't actually happen in the end. Arthur Young, Hatchett's Swing Tet, featuring on violin, and you might have recognised, a young Stefan Grappelli. Very distinctive, I think, in many ways. It's almost like a sort of Hot Club de France without Django, isn't it? Arthur Young himself, well, he was a pianist and also arranged with Jack Hilton in the early 20s and then went over to Germany, this is before the war, of course, before returning to play with Freddie Gardner and George Scott Wood's Six Swingers. And also had his own Paradise Club of Music and Strict Tempo Orchestra, just the job for dancers, of course. And then when we got to the war years, as we're hearing there, in the early stages of the war, he led Hatchett's Swing Tet, which had both Stefan Grappelli and also Chappie D'Amato. But unfortunately, he was badly injured in an air raid, that's Arthur, not Chappie, in London in September of 1940. And of course, the war, as we know, and we've mentioned several times in this programme over the years, did claim quite a few either injuries or sadly deaths as well of some great performers. Ken Snakehips Johnson leaps to mind, or Al Jolson, of course. Arthur then went on to, later on after the war, emigrated out to Australia, where he became a musical director and toured as an accompanist. Can't get the words out this evening. To a chap, I don't know whether you've heard of him, he played the harmonica, Larry Adler. So he did all right, really, didn't he, one way or another. How are we all, in any case, with or without your harmonica? I used to have a slide harmonica somewhere, or a what do they call it, the one where you could actually alter the tones. You push the little slider on the end and it sort of went up a semitone. Couldn't play it very well, though, must admit, whereas Larry Adler could just make it sing. And I don't know whether you ever remember, I certainly do, don't know whether it was live or the repeat, but there was a wonderful piece back on the Parkinson show, when chat shows used to be chat shows and weren't so much about, well, to be fair, Graham Norton's pretty good, I think, a bit louder, a bit more raucous, but back in the Parky days, Michael Parkinson and Larry Adler was once on with Isaac Perlman, I think it was, and they just did this impromptu duet of Summertime, I think it was, violin and harmonica. Absolutely wonderful, yeah. Could hear a pin drop, as they say. Still, I hope you're surviving, and we hope at some stage or other the weather's going to look up. I mean, we are now rapidly heading towards Easter, although, as we all know, Easter on the Isle of Man can be a double-edged sword. It can be all lovely and primrosy and little yellow eggs and gorse and such like, or it can be a blanket of snow. We hope for the former, not the latter, in this particular case. We've got some George Shearing coming up, a young George Shearing, and as I say, Harry Roy, and some Duke. We haven't had any Duke, and frankly, you can't go wrong with a bit of Duke. Duke Ellington, of course, no less. For now, we better get some vocals, I suppose. Why not? It's always good vocals. And we'll try and tempt fate with the weather. We'll try and tempt it into better things. We'll get Denny Dennis and Roy Fox to tell us that things are looking up.
Looking the landscape over, and it's covered with four-leaf clover. Oh, things are looking up since love looked up at me. Bitter was my cup, but no more will I be the mourner, for I've certainly turned the corner. Oh, things are looking up since love looked up at me. See the sunbeam, everyone beams just because of you. Love's incession and my depression is unmistakably through. Oh, things are looking up. It's a great little world we live in. Oh, I'm happy as a pup since love looked up at me.
Things are looking up. Well, we hope they will, weather-wise, in the next few weeks, as we're almost into spring. For the singer there, Denny Dennis, well, they did look up and they looked down and looked up and looked down again. He had a really, well, a full life, I suppose you'd say, and a very checkered one, and that he came from, well, not a great deal. He was born a Dennis, or Ronald Dennis Pounton, in Derby, and worked originally, or trained as an electrician before he became a singer. And so he started from relatively humble beginnings. But then, well, he did very well, and he sort of toured on. He went and was modelling his singing on Bing Crosby in the early days, and he had an audition with Roy Fox, and then started to make it pretty nicely indeed, and often came out ahead of Al Boley and Sam Brown and Sam Costa as Britain's favourite singer at the time. He had lessons with the classical conductor Percy Pitt at one stage because he wanted to improve his singing style. And he was turned down by Joe Loss and Peter Fielding at one stage, but then accepted a generous offer from Ambrose, and for a while then lived a life of luxury, made a lot of money, made loads of records. He was doing very, very well. He went over to the States. That didn't go quite so well. He had a marvellous offer to join Paul Whiteman's band, but typically, of course, red tape gets in the way, and permission was refused by the Ministry of Defence at the time, and he had a similar offer from Sonny Kaye, but he joined the RAF, where he discovered several people impersonating him, many of whom, it's reported, were far from scrupulous in other directions. I need a new set of teeth this evening. But yes, he met them all. He met Tommy Dorsey, he met Louis Armstrong. When he went out to the States, he was greeted by none other than George Shearing, who we'll be hearing later this evening, and had a great time in the States, not earning a huge amount of money, but didn't stay there long enough to really make his mark, and came back again and ended up, by the 50s, in bankruptcy. In 1952, he was declared bankrupt, so, you know, a real fame to fortune, and fortune then back to poverty again. And in 52, yeah, he was completely bankrupt. He was a very proud man. He wouldn't borrow money he might have needed from friends to help himself out. And rock and roll, of course, by the 50s, was much in the charts. So his name was in the Descendants. It was on the way down, disappearing. No one really heard of Denny Dennis anymore. He had a brief period with Harry Leader and a contract with Woolworth's cheap Embassy label. But the songs often went out with, they were just sort of, you know, come and go. There were nothing misleading pseudonyms. But in later life, he did a little bit of singing here and there. He lived around Yorkshire. He did a few gigs once or twice. It's reported that he was also compared at a club called The Owl near Selby in Yorkshire, home to quite a few famous stars, and also Donald Pears, who he very nearly came to blows with when Donald finished his stint and decided to stay on stage and join in all the songs as well. You can imagine that wouldn't go down particularly well. A few guest appearances later on, and he was also nominated to become a Freeman of the City of London for his singing and his work during the war, but again, red tape, it's always the way, isn't it? It was blocked because of his former bankruptcy. Does seem a little bit harsh, doesn't it? To say the very least. I mean, anyone can go bankrupt, you just have a few unlucky breaks and that's it, particularly artists, singers, musicians and such like. Don't think Duke Ellington ever went bankrupt, as far as I'm aware. Bit of a ladies' man. And a bon viveur to all the counts. But we are going to feature him now on an elongated piece, very much, I'd imagine, in Duke's taste. It's the Perfume Suite. And we can do no better than allow Duke to introduce it himself. Get the kettle on.
Hello, men. This is Duke Ellington, introducing via V-Discs, a composition written by our arranger, Billy Strayhorn, and myself. It's entitled Perfume Suite, and in it we attempt not to describe the various labels we find on commercial perfumes as much so as trying to capture the character a woman seems to take on wearing perfume. The first movement is love, pure love, the under-the-balcony type of serenade. Next comes the direct opposite, violence, which we call strange feeling. The third movement is in a lighter vein, portraying naivety. We call it dances in love, or sometimes known as a stomp for beginners. Finally comes complete sophistication, that feeling of over and above everything, just frightfully grand, which is called coloratura. Here it is, the perfume suite. We hope you like it.
Yeah.
know the trumpet's meant to go that high, to be honest with you. It's a bit different, isn't it, eh? The Perfume Suite. I don't know whether I've heard that in its entirety before or not. Parts 1 and Parts 2. Namely, Under the Balcony, Strange Feeling, Dancers in Love, and Coloratura. Recorded in New York, April the 7th, 1945. So what's that? 55, 79 years ago. Not quite to the day, but not a million miles off, is it? Still sounds fresh to me. Duke Ellington on piano. It's a classic Ellington lineup, this, with Cat Anderson on trumpet, Taft Jordan as well, Ray Nance playing, Rex Stewart, Lawrence Brown was there, Clarence Jones, Joe Tricky, Sam Nanton on trombone, Jimmy Hamilton, Otto Hardwick, Johnny Hodges on the alto, Al Sears, Harry Carney on the baritone, Fred Guy, Junior Raglin, Sonny Greer at the drums. Great Ellington lineup, and I don't know, one of the less known, at God knows how many suites he did. A lot, I think, over the years. Some, I mean, all good, some really, really good, and some sort of average by Ellington standards, but I quite like that one, yeah. A little bit of swing, a little bit more sort of free stuff, a little bit of a screeching at the end there, and something more dramatic and theatrical. And he was a great actor, or sort of a very theatrical man, someone who played it well, played the role well as being a brilliant musician. Terrific stuff. Enjoy that. Hope you enjoyed that as well. A bit of a longer track. We like to mix things up a little bit here on Sweet and Swing with myself, H. And of course, if there's anything you'd like to hear, longer track or otherwise, drop me a line. Always lovely to hear from you. You know that. You must know it by now, surely, but I'll give it to you once more. In any case, Howard Kane at manxradio.com. C-A-I-N-E at manxradio.com. Or pen to paper, gift card, postcard, fag packet. Doesn't really matter. Don't smoke, children. It's Howard Kane's Sweet and Swing, Manx Radio, Broadcasting House. And that's up on Douglas Head, which, funnily enough, is in Douglas, and it's the Isle of Man. And that all-important postcode, IM15BW. Let's hope it's going to be a lovely weekend.
My heart travels with smiling, my darling. And someday we'll spend a lifetime as sweet as that lovely weekend. Keep smiling, my darling, and someday we'll spend a lifetime as sweet as that lovely weekend.
That lovely weekend, which, if memory serves correct, was written by Ted and Moira Heath for a bit of a competition and went on to be a something of a smash hit. Yes, that's Ted Heath, not Prime Minister Ted Heath, but our Ted Heath, yes. Trombonist and bandleader Ted Heath, of course. Still a lovely song, isn't it? I must admit, I always really enjoy that one. Very nice. Beautifully sung there, too, by Dorothy Carlos, I think, in that particular case. Teddy Joyce and his orchestra. The music is sweet, the lights are low. Nonetheless, I never slept a wink last night.
Skips a beat, thrilled by your lovely charms. Heaven is mine tonight, how I adore your love divine. My heart desires nothing more. Just let us dance, for this is romance. Now is our chance. The lights are low, the music is sweet, and you're in my
Teddy Joyce from the album The Lights Are Low, The Music Is Sweet, which is the way we like it on this programme, to be honest with you, isn't it? Low lights, sweet music. Teddy Joyce himself, not his real name, I can't remember his real name now off the top of my head, but it is a pseudonym, of course, as so many of the band names were, and was nicknamed, as well as, you know, he called himself Teddy Joyce, but he was known widely at the time by the title of The Stick of Dynamite. Explosive character. Apparently, it was because of his boundless energy and enthusiasm. A Canadian by birth, had a very successful band at the Kit Kat restaurant in the mid-1930s. but sadly, again, had a rather sad end. Wasn't killed in the war, but while he was on stage in Glasgow, it was during the war, but nothing to do with the war, if you know what I mean. So he wasn't bombed or shot or anything unpleasant like that. It's still unpleasant, though. He was on stage during an act and had a brain hemorrhage and pretty much died on the spot, which must have been pretty shocking. I mean, I suppose it's the way to go if you're an artist, as they say. They often say they'd like to go on stage, don't they? Like Tommy Cooper or someone. Not quite so pleasant for the audience, of course, if you're there having a lovely night out and all of a sudden the star you've come to see just collapses on stage in front of you and dies. It probably does rather put a dampener on the evening, I imagine. But sadly, that was what happened to Teddy. Great sadness. George Shearing, on the other hand, lived to a reasonable good old age. And whilst sadly I never had the pleasure of seeing him live, I do remember seeing him on TV and doing gigs into the 70s and such like, I think it was. Brian Torf used to have a wonderful Canadian bass player with him called Brian Torf, and he played some wonderful stuff. And of course, the Shearing Quintet, that Shearing sound with Denzel Best on the drums, I think he was, wasn't he? That great vibes and guitar front line rather than having the horns up front. Absolutely amazing. Here he is much, much earlier on when he was a but a nipper, as they say. A youngster, in any case. Stomp in F. Great ending, great ending. I'm liking the sticks on the side of the snare drum there. You wouldn't necessarily recognise it, though, would you, as being George Shearing from a CD just called The Early George Shearing, 1939 to 1949, September in the Rain, a happy compilation put together by Peter Dempsey and Ray Crick, with transcriptions, I think, from the original 78. So I'm just looking to see. Ah, here we go. Yes, it does have the thing. George Shearing. Leonard. Is it Leonard Feather? That can't be right. Carl Kramer. because he's on the piano there. Now that's for the next track, and when he's playing, George did play accordion as well. But Carol Kramer on the drums, there we go. Or Carlo, beg his pardon. Carlo, tiny writing. Need my glasses, don't I? Anyone got one of those gold chains? Carlo Kramer at the drums. And yeah, George, of course, blind from birth, born in Battersea in 1919, and started playing piano at 3. By the age of 12, he'd attended the Linden Lodge School for the Blind and got his first intensive formal training there. Very classical orientation, of course, to start, and broadening his proficiency towards jazz as he got older and listened to all the giants of piano jazz on the gramophone. So the likes of Ellington, of course, Art Tatum, Mead Lux Lewis, Fats Waller, Teddy Wilson, all the greats. And he sort of absorbed all these and came up with his own style. By the age of 16, was regularly playing piano and a piano accordion. Should play a bit of George on the piano accordion as a dab hand at that as well, in various clubs and jazz venues in and around London. Like I said, by the time he was just 16. And his first regular professional experience was with touring with Claude Bampton's band of blind musicians. Ray Anthony, from a collector's series, found this one in the bag. I was listening to George. I haven't featured this one for a while, and something we can see, usually on a good day, very clearly here from Manx Radio. Don't know at the moment or the last day or two, when it's been so misty you can barely see the other side of the road. But on a good day, you can see these harbour lights. Suitably sultry sound from Ray Anthony there, of course, and he did all right for himself as well. Ronnie Doville taking the vocals on Harbour Lights. Did I promise you some Harry Roy, the cheeky chappy himself? I thought I might have done right at the beginning of the programme. And he might have another stomp for us if we don't warble on it too much. So we've already had Stomp in F from George Shearing. So what about a Casa Loma stomp from the cheeky chappy himself? Thank you.
the swaying. Any evening, any day, you'll find us all doing the Lambeth Walk. Every little Lambeth gal with a little Lambeth pal, you'll find them all doing the Lambeth Walk. Everything free and easy, do as you darn well please. Why don't you make your way there, so there, stay there. Once you get down Lambeth Way, every evening, every day, you'll find yourself doing the Lambeth Walk.
Two for the price of one there, your evening's two for Casa Loma Stomp by the old cheeky chappy himself, Harry Roy, followed by, I'm sure you don't probably need me to tell you, that was the Lambeth Walk. And who was it? Well, of course, it was Billy Cotton. Saw that one popping up on the screen and I thought, well, I think John's a fan of Billy Cotton, likes a bit of Billy Cotton from time to time, so give that one a spin. If you'd like to hear anything you haven't heard for a while, let me know. HowardCain@manxradio.com is the place to go, and we'd love to hear from you. Any thoughts, any ideas, longer tracks, shorter tracks, someone you haven't heard for a long time, or just a favourite artist you'd like to hear. We'll see what we can do and give it a spin on the old phonograph, stereogram, whatever, wax cylinder, 78s. CDs most of the time, I think, in any case. I hope you've enjoyed this evening as much as I have. Always a pleasure to be with you, and some great music as well. And we do our best to make it one of these, an enchanted evening.
Thank you.
from the great American songbook Some Enchanted Evening, and that was the ever-enchanted Joe Loss and his orchestra. No stranger to Manx Shores he. I think, what, 1955 would be his last, would it? Or thereabouts? Something like that. Happily, this isn't our last, because I'll be back, same time, same place, next week with more gems from the past. Let's leave it at that. Look after yourselves. The weather will clear up at some stage, I'm sure. Till then, cheerio.